Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4. All right, let's all stand, please. There are no notes, Robert, not this morning. There is going to be projection behind me. And yes. Well, let me say this before we start. I started this conversation about 5 weeks ago. So for five Sunday mornings in a row, you have been hearing about justification by faith alone in one fashion or another. I want to say clearly why I did this. Two reasons. Number one, I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. It never ceases to amaze me how when I think somebody's a Christian and find out later on they really weren't. Secondly, I want to take every Christian through a process that you've never been through, very step-by-step through the issue of justification by faith, which starts here, friend. Are you ready? The problems of justification and the solution. The problem is God cannot justify a wicked person. Secondly, we're all sinful. Thirdly, the law makes it worse. God justifies us the only way we can be justified, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The second week, I dealt with the cross and justification. The third week, I dealt with the five solas, how all of justification revolves around sola gratia, by grace alone, sola fide, through faith alone, solus Christus, in Christ alone, sola scriptura, based on scripture alone, soli Deo gloria. To God alone, not to you. By the way, if you can boast, you know one thing, you ain't got it. There will be no boasting in God's sight. Last week I dealt with, is salvation or justification always the same? And from the text, 328, 4, 1 to 8, we learned we are justified by faith alone. After the law, before the law, Abraham was justified by faith alone. And during the law, David was justified by faith alone. By the way, folks, none of this should be a surprise to you. Every person in this room should be able to quote everything I have said because it's in the text. It hammers it. From Galatians, we find, guess what? We are justified by faith alone. It's Galatians 2:16. Abraham was justified by faith alone, Galatians 3:8, and Habakkuk was justified by faith alone during the law, Habakkuk 2:4. This morning is number 5. We have one left. If you want to get ahead, and if you get really bored today, Romans 5:1 to 5. Next week will be the blessings or benefits of justification by faith alone. It's one of the most precious passages in the Bible. This morning, we're going to deal with how in the world do works fit into this? And I'm a logical person, so you will figure this out. It's very logical. There's only 4 options. We'll look at each option. Verse 9, please. By the way, I don't make this up. This is Paul's next question. He says in Romans 4:9, King James, it can be stated slightly differently, but it's going to mean the same thing. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision, meaning Jewish people only, or upon the uncircumcision also, people that are not Jewish in the first century specifically? But he goes ahead to say, for we say that faith was reckoned, imputed, accounted, credited to Abraham for righteousness. Well, let's ask the question. Well, how was it then reckoned or imputed or counted or credited? How did this happen? And can I say, when did this happen? In uncircumcision? He goes ahead to say, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Otherwise, Abraham, look at me, everybody. Abraham was justified by faith alone before he was circumcised. Ooh, this kind of changes the ball game a little bit. Verse 11. Verse 11. And he says, and he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that, say it with me. Yes. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed, accounted, counted, reckoned, credited unto them also. We're going to look at that text this morning, and we're going to talk about good works and justification. Let's pray together. Father, I ask you that you would help me this morning as we begin this journey on the issue of works. Where do they fit in? Do they fit in at all? And the scripture is very clear exactly where good works fit into our salvation. Help us to hear. Help us to learn. And may we never forget this salvation is not of our good works. But good works do have a place. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The gospel, for the first time in known history, started to have effect in the mid-1800s in Ireland. I'm going to assume that most of us know not a difference between Ireland, England, Scotland, or Wales, or any other place. My friends, the peoples of the British Isles were all of the same basic genetics, and they still are today. We generally call that Celtic. But their histories are very, very different. England, being closer to the continent, in AD 43, an emperor that you know of from Acts, his name was Claudius. In AD 43, he'd been emperor 2 years, sent the Roman army across into England, and they began to conquer, I'm being precise, England. They started their capital in a place you have heard of, Londinium, London. That's a Roman place. And they spread out through England. They eventually captured all the way to Cornwall in the far west. They conquered to some degree Wales, which is a different tribal group. And they went as far north as Hadrian's Wall. They went beyond that, but that's the basic thing. We say, why are you saying this story? Rome never conquered Ireland. We're not even sure if they ever went to Ireland. So from AD 43 to around 400 AD, the Romans conquered and controlled England, Britannia. They never conquered the far north at all in most of Scotland. And they never conquered Ireland. See, what's this got to do with things? Just hold on. The Romans pulled out. And by the way, the Romans brought Christianity there. A lot of people were Christians, not all of them, but some of them. So Christianity started very early in England. However, when the Romans pulled out, those Germanic peoples came in. And they conquered, hear me, England. Actually, England until 1066 was German-speaking. They conquered England. Later on, the Danes, the Vikings from both Denmark, Norway, some degree Sweden came in. But Ireland was always a thing of its own. Well, later on, England grew strong after all of this, Middle Ages and following, and they conquered Ireland kind of. But Ireland was always considered barbaric, those people. They were put down, they were trashed, they were persecuted. Well, finally the Reformation comes and the gospel comes to England, and here's the problem. Missionaries went to Ireland, but if you were Irish, you hated anything that came out of England. Anything. Those are the people oppressing you. So in the 1850s, for 5 minutes longer, but not much longer, for the first time in history, because England has always persecuted the Irish. The Irish were considered the outcast, and they pressed them down, and the Irish were some variety of Catholic, but its own varieties, and they oppressed them. But in the 1850s, for a short time, the gospel came, and people started to get saved. I have personal testimony from a pastor that said hundreds of people, adults, got saved and started joining churches in a certain area. Hundreds and hundreds. Never before. And by the way, never since. You can have a church like ours in Northern Ireland because of history. Southern Ireland, you're a foreigner. We want to have nothing to do with you. You're the English. You're oppressing us. Well, here's the story. This pastor said, God started doing a work. It was like the window had opened. People were being saved. People were joining the church. People were taking communion. People were following the Lord. And after a very short time, I don't know how long, a year? And I don't know if this, it's hard to know, was this official or not official? But here you had English people in Ireland preaching the gospel. People were getting saved. People were joining churches. People were following the Lord with the gospel for the first time, listen, in history. And somebody, we don't know who, there's a lot of debate, somebody above said this: those Irish, we don't have a problem them joining the church, but before they join the church, they have to swear allegiance to England and swear non-allegiance to being Irish. So they actually put some kind of works before getting saved. And my friend, that which did this, boom, and was over. And today, we're a couple hundred years later, to find a person in Ireland that is an evangelical Bible believer in the three southern ports of Ireland is almost non-existent. You know why? Because of the oppression of England. And in order to become a Christian, you had to become English. Do you understand our dilemma? Now, what are you talking about, Pastor Warren? I'm talking about the text. I asked the question, I think it's on the board behind me. What precedes salvation? Where do good works fit in? Simply stated, do I need to get circumcised in the first century? And basically, do I have to get circumcised and become a Jew in order to be a Christian? Do you understand the question? It's exactly the same question that they had in Ireland. You mean I have to swear allegiance to England, and I have to deny myself being Irish and my loyalty to my Irish roots in order to become a Christian? Nobody wanted to be a Christian. In Paul's day, it was, if you want to be a Christian, you have to get circumcised, follow all of these laws, and then maybe, you can be saved. We'll start with some basic premises in the slides behind me. Justification is a term. It is a legal term. It comes from the courtroom. It is a declaration of not guilty or righteous. It is a declaration that happens not at the end of time when you stand before God. It happens ahead of time in life, where God, because of his own Son, can say, righteous, because of the righteousness of Christ is imputed to your account, and our sin is imputed to Christ's account. There's the great transfer. And I also say, and this is where we're going this morning, there are exactly four possibilities. These are all shorthand, meaning there's more to be said. One possibility is good works of some variety leads to salvation. Another possibility is faith, meaning faith in Christ, plus good works, various good works, leads to salvation. A third possibility, the biblical one, is faith in faith alone, in Christ alone, leads to salvation, which in turn leads to necessary good works. There is also a fourth position. We'll just touch on it at the end. It is not a biblical position, but it is taught that faith in Christ alone leads to salvation and nothing. No necessary good works. Now, friends, if you have a bulletin, please do me a favor. Would you do me this favor and write this stuff down? You need, when you read this, I've had two or three people say, I have read Romans my whole life and I don't understand. It's because you don't get a couple words. I have in the behind me, I think, several words that may be used to describe Christ's righteousness being put on our account. Go ahead, Tom. What you need to write down is the references. Romans 3:28, 4:3, 4:4, 4:5, 4:6, 4:8, 4:9, 4:10, and 4:11. You need to write this down, and what you need to get is the Greek word can be translated any one of these ways, and it will help clarify. The King James and most versions use several words, but it's all the same Greek word, counted. King James will also say reckoned. Accounted and counted puts it in the framework of Christ's righteousness is put on our account. It's accounted to us, and our sin is accounted to him. But they're all the same concepts. Imputation is a beautiful word. But most people don't use impute or imputed often. But all of these can be used. Actually, when I read these texts, I read all of these words at the same time. Counted, accounted, reckoned, imputed, or credited. There's been a credit put on our account. It's called Christ's righteousness. And our discredit, so to speak, was put on his account. It's found in these verses. If you so desire, it's also found in verse 22, 23, and 24 of chapter 4. By the way, if you do not get these, you'll stumble around every time you read Romans. Because in the King James, it translates it several ways, other versions, it's all the same meaning. So when we talk about credited, reckoned, counted, accounted, imputed, we're talking about the same things. All right. We come now to point number one. Works leads to salvation. That is the first option. I say this is not, nor ever has been, a Christian option. As far as I know, no one has ever taught that good works leads to salvation in any form of so-called Christianity. I don't think anybody teaches works does this. It was not true in the for Old Testament believers, obviously. It was not true also of even the Judaizers did not teach this. No one has ever taught good works leads to salvation. However, many religions think so. So if you follow any other religion or have contact, you're going to find in most religions, basically you just do good things and you hope, like I have demonstrated in this room before, the Egyptian religion, you died and you met a god. And somebody, another god, pulled your heart out. And if your heart was dirty, it weighed more than the feather. And if it weighed more than the feather, then you were burnt up. Because you didn't pass the test. The whole ancient Egyptian religion was based on good works. And your good works made your heart lighter. And if your heart was lighter than a feather, then you went on your journey to whatever they called heaven. So a lot of religions do teach this. No form of Christianity has ever taught this. I believe next the Judaizers, meaning those people that mix the gospel with works, taught the next point. The Judaizers espoused the next view, which is faith, meaning faith in Christ, but not faith alone. It wasn't grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. It was grace plus faith plus Christ plus some good works. Acts 15 tells us this. certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Please look at me. They were saying, oh yeah, Christ is the way to the Father, but it's Christ plus. It is grace plus. It is faith plus. It wasn't grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. It was always the plus. And in this case, it was the plus of circumcision. So you want to be saved, Gentile? Not a problem. You can be saved. You just need to trust Christ and be circumcised and keep the law of Moses and keep the cultural laws. And that was the nature. Let's read what Luke records, verse 5. It says, but there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed. Got to hear me. They believed. They had faith, but they mixed faith and works together. That's the nature of the Judaizers. So they come from Judaism. They came from the Pharisees, and they mixed circumcision with faith, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Everyone look at me. Do you remember my opening illustration? You want to go to heaven? You want to join the church? Not a problem. Swear allegiance to England. You want to go to heaven? Not a problem. Swear allegiance to becoming Jewish. And it's like, what? So it was grace plus, faith plus, Christ plus. It wasn't the gospel, which is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Oh, no. It was some other things you had to do. Let's keep reading. Verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter arose and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. He says, don't you know what God has done? He's saving people who aren't Jewish. You don't have to become Jewish in order to be saved any more than you have to become American or any group. He says, you know this. Verse 8, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Verse 9, and put no difference between us and them. There's no difference. We all get saved the same way. Purifying their hearts by what? Say it with me. By faith. Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. My friend, it's always faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. Peter says, no, no, you don't have to somehow go back and become Jewish. Now, Tom, do we have a photo next? That's in the second point, the first photo. All right. Number two. Are you all with me? By the way, friend, no Christian group has ever taught works leads to salvation. Here's where we run into weird places. This is what many groups have taught. Faith, just like the Pharisees, they believed, so it's faith in Christ in some fashion, but it's not faith alone. It's not grace alone. It's not Christ alone. It's faith plus good works. And if you put those two together, that leads to the place of being saved. I say this has become the norm, the scourge of the gospel. This muddies the gospel. In the first century, Judaizers, not Jews, Judaizers, the ones that believed and then mixed it up with the Old Testament, taught this. It is faith in Christ plus circumcision plus the Old Testament laws plus, frankly, all the cultural aspects too. Meaning, yeah, you not only had to keep the laws, but all the laws. You had to adopt the kosher laws. You had to eat. They wanted you to do everything because it wasn't just Christ. What Christ did on the cross was good. necessary, but you got to do all these other things. And if you did all of these other things, well, you didn't really get saved right then. But if you added faith and Christ and grace, and then you added all the good works, maybe someday, some way out there, you would be saved. This is the common teaching. You got to become a Jew first. That was what Paul was confronted by. If you want to be saved, become a Jew. Of course, I asked this question. Were you ever actually justified? The answer is no. Please, friend, in this system, once you understand this, so hear me, I don't care what church you go to in one sense. You need to hear for the gospel. Do they teach, yes, it's Christ, yes, it's faith, yes, it's grace, but it's all these things you do, then you don't have the gospel. It doesn't make any difference if it's circumcision or baptism or what it is. When you add something, what happens is Christ gets lost, and it's what you do that saves you. Tom, does the photo come up next? By the way, there are many people you're going to meet, that's their thinking. Look at me, do you reason? This is the bottom line. Many people, I don't care who you talk to, they think, okay, I got to do something. I've had people tell me, when I was younger, they would call me Ralph, my name. They'd say, Ralph, I can't go to church because I'm not ready to be good. It's like, no, you're getting everything backwards. What they're really saying is, I will work for salvation, but not right now. Give me about 5 or 10 years. I want to get some sin out of the way, and then I'll get to it. Friend, we got everything backwards. But this is the common teaching. And I said, by the way, Tom, can you go back to the previous thing, the bottom? Basically, if you want to get saved, become a Jew. I asked, were you ever actually justified? And the answer is, anytime you add Christ, faith and grace, and you add something to it, you are never really justified. Salvation becomes a process, and at the end of the day, maybe you go, maybe you don't. We don't know. Or if you're a good Catholic, no anger towards anybody. Please, this is not about people. If you're a good Catholic, maybe you go to purgatory. And if you're a really good Catholic, maybe only for a short time. Because you're never really justified. By the way, justification. When God looked at Abraham, he declared Abraham righteous. It was a declaration. Why? Because Abraham's faith in the coming Christ was credited. Christ's righteousness was credited to his account, and Abraham's sin was credited to God's Christ's account, and therefore God could say, righteous, not guilty. We can be justified right now if you have Christ plus, grace plus, faith plus. It's always a process. Go ahead, Tom, go back to the photo. That's where you're at. We'll work for salvation, hopefully, maybe, someday, somehow. We continue. Romans 4, verse 9. Read with me from the board, please. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? Otherwise, he's back to the same question as Acts 15. Do we have to be circumcised first? Do we have to become a Jew first? That's shorthand. Do I have to obey all the Jewish laws? And by the way, I have no problem with a Jewish person obeying all those laws. But he's asking, is that how you get saved, justified? Or does it happen to the uncircumcision, non-Jews also? He says, for we say that faith was, what's that word? Let's say it, counted, accounted, reckoned, imputed, credited. Get all five words. It was put on our account. It comes from Christ. When we trust Christ and him alone, the righteousness of God is put on our account, and our sin, our debit, so to speak, is accounted on Christ, and his righteousness is put on us. Verse 10. Well, how was it then reckoned? Reckoned, remember that word, imputed, accounted, counted, credited, all the same words. Well, how then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision? So when did Abraham get justified? When he was circumcised or when he was uncircumcised? Well, we know the answer. Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. The question of who is justified or who can be justified. Is it just the circumcision, the Jewish person who keeps the law and the males are circumcised and they keep all the kosher laws? Or is it the uncircumcision? And then, of course, the second question is, when does this happen? And here's the Bible's answer. Look at me, friends. Two answers. I don't know if it's on the board or not. The answers are simple. Abraham was justified before he was circumcised. Listen, listen, listen. He was justified a long time before he was circumcised. These two are not the same. Salvation comes before these things, not after these things. And that is the proof that we recognize we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's how Abraham was saved. And he also says, of course, when does this happen? Well, not in circumcision. He says both groups can be saved. Both are saved the same way. Gentiles don't have to become Jews first before they get saved. And can I say this? The country you're living in, you do not have to agree with this, but you would be wrong in this case. This country has sent out more missionaries than all countries on earth combined. Especially in the last, maybe since the second century or so. But you don't have to become American, look at me, and you don't have to become white. Neither one of those has anything to do with being saved. You know how you're saved? Look at me. Exactly the same way I got saved. Recognizing that you're a sinner before God. Recognizing you have no hope. Recognizing your only hope is in Christ. Say it. Christ alone. When you come to that place, you don't have to become something before that. That's always false religion. Well, my friend, no criticism here. I'm just going to read a couple things that I wrote. The Church of Christ, which we have one over here and another couple, and I'm being specific, not the United Church of Christ, which doesn't even believe the gospel. The Church of Christ teaches absolutely, in order to be saved, you have to believe, look at me, and be baptized in their church. You are not saved by Christ alone. You are saved by being baptized also, and normally, then a whole series of good works done in and through that church in order to be saved. I want you to hear me. Do I want you, if you're here this morning, to get saved? Yes. Would I love for you to be part of our church? Yes. But our church doesn't save you. Baptism is very important. We'll talk about it in a moment. It doesn't save you. Being a Baptist doesn't save you. You are saved by grace alone. What God does for you. Through faith alone, in Christ alone, period. You don't become something before that. By the way, we want you to get saved. We'll talk about the other stuff after that. At Trinity Baptist Church, Rockville, Maryland. This was a little church that I went to while I was in George Washington University, Bethesda, Maryland. I went to a couple of other churches, no time to discuss that. I went to Trinity Baptist, and that's the church I joined. I will confess to you, I joined it for two reasons. Number one, it broadly believed what I'm teaching this morning, and number two, the pastor's wife made the best biscuits on earth, and she invited me over for lunch. I was a single sailor eating Navy food. She invited me over, and I think in the couple years I was there, I probably had lunch with them. If I was there 100 weeks, look at me, friend, I probably had lunch with them 97 of those weeks. One day I was talking to a woman that played the organ, an old-fashioned organ, you know, the old pedals and all that stuff. And by the way, Brenna, thank you for playing. And by the way, I wanted to welcome you. Brenna came home just to see Pastor Warren. And the Big B's birthday, of course. I talked to the lady playing the organ. She had been in a church, look at me, friends, all her life. I didn't know this lady. The pastor of the church, Pastor Myers, good man, never prepared for preaching. He probably the worst preacher I ever sat under, but a good man. I went there because the food was good. And they believed what I believed, and I liked him, and I liked his wife. His wife was very sharp, very sharp. We talked one day. Do you know the woman came to church every week and played the organ? And the woman talked to me. I realized as a young man, I was 18, 19, 20. She didn't get the gospel. She thought her organ playing was part of her salvation. And I'm like, you've been in church for 50 years. I'm going to say this. Don't take a breath now. She was very old. In her 60s. Boy, that seems young these days. She never got the gospel. Do you realize that? Oh, by the way, she also never had assurance. Because you cannot have assurance if it's faith plus. Anything you add, you never know if I've added enough stuff. So you're always wondering if I've added enough stuff. So you're always insecure and you never quite get there. And then, of course, then there's all kinds of other things. Now, I met a Roman Catholic one time. I've talked about him lots of times. I worked at a Roman Catholic hospital. By the way, I preached a whole sermon in front of Roman Catholic priest and Roman Catholic nuns in the entire hospital hierarchy at a funeral. And I preached the gospel. So this is not a personal thing. But this Roman Catholic person, when you talk to her, said something like this. Well, I was baptized, say it, as a baby. And I had first, and I had confession. And I go take of the Mass. Are you listening? So what is salvation to her? But the problem is, these things don't stop. She would say, and I never have been around this personally, but she would do her Hail Marys and Our Fathers. And if she sinned, she'd go to the priest, do her confession. He'd say 5 of this and 10 of this. And she'd go out and do her beads and say those things. And she tried to do good works. By the way, nice person. Her hope of heaven wasn't that now she could be justified before God because of Christ. Her hope of heaven is she had done enough of these things that she could make it to purgatory. And in purgatory, people on earth could say masses for her and pray for her, and somehow within a reasonable time she'd get out of purgatory and go to heaven. Her whole Christianity had nothing to do with what Christ has done for us. It was what she did or other people did for her. Wow. Well, we come to the third concept, which is faith. That's shorthand, by the way. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's shorthand. We always put those three together. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That leads to salvation, or could I say justification. At that point, when you understand you cannot save yourself, only God can save you. And God saves us through faith in Christ alone. At that point in time, you are declared righteous. You are made a child of God. And from that salvation leads to good works. That's Christianity. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, leads to salvation, which in turn leads to living the Christian life, following Christ. Tom, or the picture, is it after the verses? Yes? Thank you. Let's look at the verses, Romans 3:28. Read with me silently as I read aloud. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified. How? By faith, without the deeds, this is the word alone, the deeds of the law. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Every believer in this room knows this verse by heart. For by grace are you saved through faith. Have you ever heard this? Haven't we said this about 100 times? It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He says it's by grace you are saved through faith, and that it is not of yourself. It's nothing to do with how good you are, smart you are, or your ethnicity, or being English, or whatever. It is the gift of God. By the way, friend, God gives us the gift of eternal life. It is not of works. Why? Lest any man or woman should boast. Nobody will brag that I'm in heaven because I was good. However, verse 10, for we are his workmanship. Craftsmanship might work. We are something that God has crafted, created, listen to that language, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The good works follow after salvation. Why do you get baptized? Because now that you have trusted Christ, you want to follow him. Baptism identifies you with salvation. It's telling the entire world, that's my, not the water, but when I die and buried and rise again, I am identifying with the cross. I am identifying with what Christ has done for me. I am publicly professing to the world that Christ is my only hope and I'm going to follow him. But that follows after salvation. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, meaning afterwards, for those good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Romans 4:11 says this in its own way. And he, Abraham, after he was saved, after he was justified, after God declared him righteousness, after the righteousness of Christ was imputed, credited, accounted, all reckoned to his account, and God declared him righteous, afterwards he received something. Just like today, after we get saved, sooner or later we follow the Lord in baptism, hopefully sooner. Sooner or later, we follow the Lord in church membership, and we also move forward from there. We follow the Lord in reading the scripture, walking with God, praying, gathering together. All of those things come after. Friends, can I say this? Look at me, friend. You don't have to be a Christian to become a Christian. Can I say it again? You don't have to be a Christian to become a Christian. You become a Christian by this. Christ alone, by trusting him. Then you actually become a Christian and follow Christ. So look what he says. He received the sign, semeion, for you that have taken linguistics, semiotics, which is the study of signs. We use that in linguistics. He received a sign, the sign of circumcision, but it was after he was saved. A seal, something that confirmed the righteousness of faith which he had yet, being uncircumcised. He already was saved. He was already justified. And it goes on to say, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed, credited, accounted, reckoned, all of those words unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. I want everyone, friends, you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Please hear me. There is nobody in this room that wants you to act like you're a Christian before you are a Christian. You don't have to clean up your, I've had people tell me this, I'd like to come to church. But man, I need to clean up my life. Got everything backwards. By the way, the person that cleans your life up is not you, it's Christ. It's what Christ does for us that leads to that kind of a lifestyle. We don't want you, can I say this? I don't even want you to act like a Christian if you're not. I would prefer you to act exactly as you should act, like you're not a Christian. So you don't have to be a Christian before you have to become one before you can actually live that way. Obviously. Would I like you to be baptized? Sure. but not if you're not a Christian. I would expect you're an unbeliever before you're a believer. I say in the note on the board, circumcision was for Old Testament Jewish believers and was of extreme importance to them. It was first of all a sign, but remember, a sign is not the thing itself. A sign by its very nature points to something else. Just like baptism is not the thing itself, it points to what Christ has done. Dying for us, being buried, rising again for us. It's pointing. So it was a sign. It was a sign that Abraham followed the Lord because he was a believer. And therefore he received the sign. There was also a seal, the Bible says, as an act of obedience, a physical act. Circumcision confirmed or sealed the deal, so to speak, the seriousness of being a believer. Kevin Bowder said, you have skin in the game, and that's very literal. I mean, when you got circumcised, it was no small feat. You were telling everybody, I have been saved, I am a follower, and therefore, can I say this, in many countries, you can get saved, but being baptized doesn't save you. But it's hard to be baptized because baptism is that public confession to everybody, I'm a follower of Christ, and I want you to know that. Why? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, saves us. And that salvation then changes us. The good works follow it. Obviously, Old Testament circumcision also played a role as being Jewish. It was an identity marker and set you off as a Jewish person, a member of the nation. Tom, is the slide there yet? Where does it come? Before that, there we go. Go back to that, there we go. I like this. Judaizers make sanctification a precondition to salvation. That's a pretty good statement. You say, what does that mean? Look at me. You're justified by faith alone in Christ alone first. Sanctification is your growing in grace. That always follows it. Judaizers do this. Look at me. They put the works before the salvation. No. The salvation produces the works. The justification produces the sanctification. There is always this confusion when you're in a church and they mix everything up. It's almost like I have to be sanctified to be... No. You need to get saved by Christ alone, and the good works come out of that. Thank you, Tom, for going back. I have some simple thoughts. Every age has good works. Good works that follow salvation or flow out of salvation. Good works after salvation. Good works that do not save. Good works that simply confirm that God has already saved us. We're going to look at some verses in a moment. Can I say this to you? Y'all with me? Can I ask you, is this simple? By the way, there's only four options. Only one of them is true. I would tell you that the vast majority of Christianity, instead of everything is Christ, Christ is there, and then there's these good works, and they're this big, and that somehow leads you someday to salvation. Christianity is the opposite. Everything is Christ. And when you come to Christ and get saved and trust him and he saves you, that relationship pushes the good works. The good works come out of a relationship. They don't precede. Obviously, in every age, there are different kinds of good works. In this age, the primary good works are things like this. And by the way, none of them save you, but they all point back. They're like a sign pointing back to salvation. We have two major ordinances. Baptism points back to what Christ did for us. His death, burial, resurrection. It points back to us identifying with that, saying, yep, that's how I'm saved. That's who I'm following. I want that to be my identity. The Lord's Supper points back to, let me think, his broken body, his shed blood. Everything is a sign. And the seal part of it is the same. We choose then to follow Christ. We choose to be baptized, not to be saved, but because we're saved. We choose to take the Lord's Supper, not to be a Christian, but because we're a Christian. So in this age, you have baptism, the Lord's Supper, following Christ, obeying Scripture. But all of that follows. It's by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone, leads to salvation, which then leads to good works. Matthew 28, we'll just bullet point this quickly. Go ye therefore, he tells the believers, the church, and you teach all nations. That's teaching the gospel, making disciples. After a person becomes a disciple, guess what? Then you baptize them. And after they're baptized, verse 20, then you teach them to observe. By the way, all of teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you comes long after being saved. You don't get it reversed. You don't put sanctification before justification. Acts 16, 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Verse 15. And then when she was baptized, the baptism followed her heart being opened, her grasping at her getting saved, and then she was baptized. Acts 16, 29. Paul is in prison in Philippi. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said unto him, well, you need to get baptized. Take the Lord's Supper. Yes? Live a good life. Look at me. Clean up your act. Can I say this? You can't clean up your act. Let me just say this to everybody. If you clean up all the mess in your whole life, here's your problem. You've cleaned it up right now, but all of the sins in the past are still there. And if you clean up your life, you're going to sin later. How's that going to help you? Only Christ can help you, friend. He's the one that transforms us, which leads to good works. Of course. Acts 16, he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Obviously, he didn't just say this to the one guy, but to all of the family. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and he was baptized, he and all his straightway. Why? Because they had all heard, all believed, all followed that with baptism. Good works follow salvation, friend. Romans 6. Know you not that so many of us as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Why? Because it's a sign. It's a sign pointing back to what Christ has done. And when you get baptized, it doesn't save you. It simply points back as a sign. And in another sense, it's the seal. We are sealing the deal, so to speak, by identifying with Christ's death, burial, resurrection. Galatians 3, 26 and 27, I hope, seal this. For you are all the children of God by what? By what? By faith in Christ Jesus. Obviously, he's not saying faith plus, plus, plus. It's grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. And then verse 27 says, for as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You say, what does this mean? Friend, the moment you get saved, you are God's child. Then you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, which means then my entire identity is rooted in Christ. All right, I'm going to say this. We're going to move on to point four. Everybody look at me. In Sunday school, in the future weeks, we'll be talking about identity. It's not in your notes. If you have a piece of paper, you might want to write this down, because Americans have a lot of... Because of the politics and, may I say, stupidity of America, when you get saved and you get baptized, you are identifying first and foremost with Christ. Galatians 3:28 follows up on this, and it talks about the various categories. By the way, what you see in this room, Paul saw in the first century. And he says, we're all one in Christ. That's Galatians 3:28. The next verse, because we identify primarily. If I meet you, I'm going to identify three ways. Number one, I'm going to identify as a human. Number two, in most settings, I'm going to identify as an American because I am. But I'm going to identify as a Christian because I have chosen and God saved me and I identify with Christ. You say, are you white? I don't know that I've ever met a person on planet Earth that I walked up to, stuck out my hand and said, I'm white. You say, well, they can tell, unless they're blind. I don't identify with white. I identify with Christ, and so should you. Seems to be simple to me. Well, we'll conclude today. We're late. There's a fourth option that's not biblical. Some people teach faith, meaning they really teach grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone leads to salvation, and then that's it. No necessary good works. My friend, there is no place in the Bible that teaches this. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. That's where you start the relationship with Christ. When you hear the call of the gospel, and I know them, and what? They follow me. There is no Christianity where good works don't follow salvation, period. Jesus says, if you love me, and by the way, John 1 John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. It starts with him. We love him, and if you do so, you keep his commandments. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All right, everyone look at me, and I'm finished. We're not going to read the rest of the verses for time. I apologize. We're a little bit late. I wanted you to hear, beyond controversy, simple concepts. Works never in any place in the Bible leads to salvation. Confused people, and much of Christianity, sadly, and the Judaizer says is faith plus works. The problem is there's never a salvation because you never know if you did enough works. Christianity teaches it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ, what he did on the cross for you, that we are saved. And that leads to inevitable good works. Yes, there is a dumb teaching by a small group of Christians. And they say, oh no, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That saves us. And that's not found any place in the Bible. If you're saved, God is going to change you and make you into a follower. And in due time, you're going to follow him. That is the gospel, friend. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this day. I know this was a lot, but I think all of us can grasp the four concepts. And I trust this morning, Lord, that every believer in this room is reconfirmed that when they put their head on the pillow tonight, it is Christ alone. Simply to thy cross I cling. Everything is Christ. He saves us. And yes, if we're saved, we follow him. We obey him. Yes, we get baptized. Yes, we take communion. Yes, we follow him. Yes, we obey. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. May we hear this morning, and Lord, if there's one in this room, or maybe more than one, that all of this is brand new. Lord, just open their eyes this morning. Help them to grasp and think and interact with the gospel. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. When he shall come, we pray to be found dressed in his righteousness alone. That is our hope. Seal your word to our hearts this day in Jesus' name.